This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
To another episode of this stuff, whatever it is we're doing.
I think I cut you off every single time when you're like saying hello, because I always am like, you are saying hello to me, obviously.
I mean, I am. But to be fair,
kind of not.
I mean, to be fair, we've been talking for a solid 15 minutes before we started recording. So
true.
So technically, I'm not actually saying hello to you. No.
No, that's true. That is correct.
How are you? I'm sorry, I just took a big sip of tea in there.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm tired because it is, I don't know when it will be when this is actually published, but it is currently the end of October and I'm fucking cold. Well, whenever it's published, I will still be even colder. I'll be colder. So the cold makes me tired and just sitting in my room with my heated blanket and my heater pointed at my face. I don't like it. So
fair. I do actually like it. I like that it's cold. I'm still tired because I went out and did a lot of stuff yesterday. So now today is a crash day.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm good. I have a cat who's desperately trying to get on top of me, and I'm going to shoo him away, and he will be very upset with me.
He's like, let me lay directly on top of the microphone.
Yes.
I'm sure that will not be a problem.
Yes. You okay? Do you have questions?
I do have questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So my first question is, okay. I don't know why I'm like leading it up. Like it's like this big thing. So my first question is, how would you see somebody's phobias in a chart?
Oh, I've never thought about that.
That's so I obviously have an arachnophobia, and your son used to have a phobia, but doesn't anymore because they healed him of it. So I was just thinking about it.
So I've never thought about it. I don't have like an immediate idea, which is a first. I think that's a first.
Okay.
I'm gonna open up your chart.
Okay.
And look at it. Because I mean,
let me find it.
Yeah, I mean, I know you the best, probably, of all the charts I have, of the grown-ups that I have charts for.
Sure.
So it is easiest to check yours, because I could check my own, but like it's always harder to see stuff for yourself.
Do you have a proper phobia?
Not as bad as yours, no. Like, I'm okay with being in the same room as a spider. Like,
right.
There's literally one like right over there.
Right, so then that's not a phobia. That's like I don't like spiders. That's
probably.
So
you're probably right.
So what I mean is like a proper phobia, right? Yeah. Because there's nothing logical. Like I will just like levitate across the room. Like if one was in here, I would like make a sound that is like a guttural, like I am being murdered sound. And then I like levitate across the room and I have no memory of like, do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It's different. And I knew like as nice knew somebody else with a arachnophobia like worse than mine, where if the word spider was even written down, like it would trigger it. Right. Okay. So like sometimes imagery of spiders will trigger it for me, but like not the word.
Okay. Right. I mean, I used to be like that.
Yeah.
But for some reason it changed when I I guess when I had a spiritual awakening, because I don't know, I've read a lot about the spiritual meaning. This is not me being condescending, by the way, going like, you just need to learn more about the spiders and it will get rid of your fear. I'm not saying that at all.
Well, again, like, I feel like that just means that before it still wasn't a phobia.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because like, because there's nothing like, so with a phobia, it has nothing to do with logic. It doesn't, yeah, like,
I know.
You can't like learn yourself out of it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, probably, so like, do you just kind of like not like spiders, and you used to not like spiders worse than you just don't like spiders now?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I don't think that's the same. Like, I don't think that you probably would have ever been clinically diagnosed as having a phobia is what I mean.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree.
So. Anyways, just sticking up for phobia havers because, you know.
Yeah, like, I know, because we use, and that's a pet peeve of mine, actually. And it's really funny that I do it myself. Like, like using proper psychological terms in a very casual way, where like we casually call people narcissists. We casually call things a trigger. And it really bothers me because I'm like, that's not what that means. A trigger is not something you get mad about.
Yeah.
Not everything you get mad about is a trigger. A trigger is a very specific psychological term. And so is like a narcissist. Not everyone that's an asshole or abusive is a narcissist.
Yeah.
And yeah, not everything you're scared of or you don't like is a phobia.
Right.
So. Yes.
So I am like speaking specifically about phobias. Like,
yeah.
I see a phobia in a chart because like there must be a way because it is such like a weird thing.
Yeah.
And also like, so obviously we've talked about this so much, but like my memory doesn't start until really late. And so it was well into my before times. Like I never didn't have it is what I'm getting out. So like, my dad told me once that he remembered the first time he saw me see a spider.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like an infant.
Oh yeah.
And infants don't know to be scared of stuff like that. And he was like, lost your mind. And my brother also has it.
Mm.
Right.
Interesting.
And I don't speak to him anymore, but but like I went no contact with him way after I went no contact with my mother, so like I've not been no contact from him for that like years, but not like that long. And like it's never gone away for him either, or even really changed. So I
looked at your chart for a little bit there, and I also checked whether or not there's an asteroid that is just called something to do with phobias or fears. Can't find anything right now.
Okay.
So my response to that question would be, I'm going to get back to you because now I am really intrigued and I want to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to have to do some digging and researching to actually figure it out.
So
that's a first.
Yeah. So, okay. This is just out of curiosity. So now that we have talked about that, I don't believe that you have it as a phobia or had it as a phobia.
Mm-hmm.
But you still think that your son had a proper phobia.
Oh yeah. He was like you. Like he started.
That's what I thought.
Screaming, like literally screaming. Like there was one time where like it was in the evening and everything was really quiet, and all of a sudden there was this like piercing scream from the bathroom, and like everyone, like my husband being me, his little sister, like we were all like, oh my god, something terrible must have happened. Like it sounded like he was screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
And then everyone just ran there and it was a spider in the shower.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And we were all like,
fucking reasonable though. Like,
so yeah. And he does that. So yeah, he does that a lot, or used to do that a lot until like you did some wee.
Yeah.
Witchy, some witchy healing. And now like he still doesn't like them. He's still not thrilled when there is one.
Yeah, but now he wouldn't have.
But he's not screaming bloody murder anymore. He's just like, oh, there's a spider. Okay, I'm gonna walk around that.
Yeah. See, like my energy healing does not work on myself, or it doesn't like to that effect. Anyway.
Yeah. That's rude.
Yeah, I mean it's okay. It's one of these things where well, I say it offhand, like it's okay because the things that I had it where I really wanted it, like where I really needed healing, either you or Michael did.
Yeah.
Stuff for me, right? So,
fair. Yeah,
that's fine. What was I just going to say though? There was something that I was going to ask when you were talking about feeling screaming. Yeah, that's when I was thinking about it, but I was spiders. Like, oh, I'll remember that.
Spiders in the shower.
Don't. Well, here's what I was going to say. So my phobia, like I can't get close enough to them to kill them, remove, like definitely can't get close enough to them to remove them, cannot get close enough to do anything about it, right?
Yeah.
And there's been several times where like I've been home alone and encountered a spider and I've gone and gotten neighbors that I don't know to come into my house and deal with it because I can't, right? Like, but also there was one time when Frenzy was home but he was asleep and I woke up and I had to go to the bathroom, right? So it was like, I mean it wasn't like super early in the morning or anything, but it was like you know 10 in the morning or 9 or 10 in the morning or something. I woke up and I had to pee and I opened the door to my bedroom and there was like a spider and I think it was dead, like in the hallway. So here's the other thing is like the cats usually, like part of the cat's job is to make it so that I don't have to, like, you know, live in a world where they're around me or whatever. But anyway, so there was like a deceased spider in the hallway, but like I screamed but was trapped in my room, right? Oh, no. And he like turns his phone off so I couldn't like call him or like doesn't turn it off, but he turns like the sounds off or whatever. And I had to just like yell until he woke up and got rid of it. So like, so rough. Anyway, so when I like, I mean, I'm not saying it for sympathy or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, so it should be some. So I was saying it for two reasons. So one, a phobia is different than a fear.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But also, it should be significant enough. There should be something that shows in it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to find it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll need need some time to do some digging, I guess. So,
okay.
I am really, really intrigued about that because that's something I've also like, I mean, I've never thought about it. I've never heard anyone talk about it in the like astrology space.
Yeah.
I've never read about it in any of the many, many astrology books I have read by now. So I want to figure that out.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, this is one of the risks of me not telling you all of the questions.
I'm kind of surprised that we have never had that situation before where that I just had to go, I don't know.
I'll have to get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have more questions?
I luckily do have more questions.
Good.
And also, I talked a long time about my own phobia and whatever. So,
yes.
Okay. So the next thing that I wanted to ask you about is, so I know that there are, so if you're looking at like someone's chart and then you're looking at like their parents' charts and like their aunts and uncles or their brothers, like if you're looking at like a family worth of charts, right? Mm-hmm. That there will be like a similarity, like a thread where like everybody has one of two rising signs or everybody's got like, you know, whatever. And so I just wanted to kind of hear more about that. I'm like, are they usually the same things? Are they usually different things? Like,
okay. Well, they can be different things, first of all. So it's not always the same thing. It's not always the case that, you know, you will share a rising sign or similar rising signs. That does occur where like when like your direct ancestor line has like a dominance of a certain rising sign. That definitely does happen. I've seen that more than once. It also sometimes happens that trying to think of a way to explain this so people will be able to follow. When you have your dad is a Sagittarius sun, then you will have significant Sagittarius placements, or you will have Saturn in Sagittarius, and Saturn represents the father in astrology, right? Or stuff like that, right? So it's usually to deal with the big three. So your rising, your sun, sometimes the moon, especially with the mother line. Or it's to do with the planets that represent the father and the mother. So it's Saturn. In some versions, it's the sun that represents the father. I've heard that before too. Usually, though, it's Saturn that represents the father. And then the mother is the moon.
Right.
So, yeah. So you can have like a Virgo sun mother, and your moon will be in Virgo. So it represents your Virgo sun mother in your chart, right? So it's it's sometimes really uncanny how these things show up. So
it's funny. So like I was thinking about like what I remember about my parents' chart. So the reason that I asked the question is because I'm pretty sure, I can't remember the rest of them, but I'm pretty sure that my mother and I have the same rising sign, which I like my rising sign. So when I saw it, I was like, meh. So I don't like that you also have it. But I mean, also, she's got the shadow.
Whatever. Yeah, I remember that, I think, looking at that. Isn't your dad
share much about... No, I think he's... I mean, we'd have to look, but I think he's, I think he's mostly Cancer stuff because
that also tracks.
I think he's like a Cancer. Well, I know he's a, so I know he's a Cancer sun, and I think he's also a Cancer rising.
Okay.
Or something like that. But I don't think I have, like, I mean, my MC and nothing else, I think.
Fair.
I don't think I have anything else in Cancer. I know my Saturn's not in there.
Okay, so I'm looking at your mother's chart, and I'm not going to share it because, you know, privacy and stuff, and we don't have her consent. But, so yes, she is a Libra rising, and you are also a Libra rising. She is also a Libra moon.
Oh, yeah. So that's,
and you
that's
are also a Libra also moon.
A Libra moon.
Right.
Okay.
And... and she has a Cancer stellium. Sun, Venus, and Uranus are in her Cancer.
Okay.
I mean,
that's more about my dad, isn't it?
Yeah. So I was gonna now pull up your dad's chart. I'm also not gonna show because we don't have his consent either. But yeah, so he is a Cancer sun. Where's his Libra? Oh, and his Libra is in his, mostly his fourth house, and he has Neptune in there in his south node. But yeah, so the connection between your mom and your dad is there with the heavy Cancer placements. So he's a Cancer rising and a Cancer sun.
Yeah.
And your mother is a Libra rising and a Libra moon, and you are also a Libra rising and a Libra moon. And the moon represents the mother. So it's interesting that the planet that represents your mother is in the same rising sign.
Well, another thing that's funny is all the Libra stuff that I don't have, like the people pleasing and like the, like all of that stuff, she really has.
Yeah.
She has like strong or whatever. But it's like funny because like a lot of the Libra stuff, I'm like, oh, yeah. And it, like when you get to that stuff, I'm like, not an ounce.
Yeah.
Like not an ounce of that. Okay. But I don't think I have, I don't think I really share anything with my dad's chart.
Not that I can see. Let me double check. No, you don't really share a lot.
Right. Is that weird?
No, it's not weird. It's just, you know, usually one line will be more like showing up more.
Yeah.
In your charts. That's also not the first time. Like for me, my dad shows up in my chart a lot. Yeah. We have the same sun sign. A lot of placements are the same or really similar in both of our charts. Whereas my mother is the complete opposite. Like I have heavy Pisces placements. My mother has a fucking Virgo stellium. So we are polar opposites.
Yeah.
And it shows. But that's not the first time that I've seen that. Like that one parent will show up significantly more than the other.
Yeah.
Can't really tell you what exactly it means. That would be like a very personal thing. I mean, for you, I would interpret that as, well, your mother was the one that was way more influential, quote unquote, in the way that she was
a really nice way to put it.
Yeah, that she was the abusive one and your father was just like, you know, hanging around.
Sure. Yeah.
So that tracks that your mother would show up more in your chart because of that. Because abuse is always going to have a bigger influence on you than not abuse, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I also think that it's interesting because, so the person whose chart that we used as an example of the unethical person, the person that did care all about ethics, which is somebody that I feel like we are the opposites of each other in like many ways, but our charts were also really similar.
Yeah
So
that's why it worked so good as an example for like how placements can show up in a healed way and how they show up in a more toxic way, because you know, we all have this range of possibilities. Like, so that's part of why I don't do ancient astrology. I only do parts of ancient astrology.
Okay.
And then, like, mix and combine stuff, because in ancient astrology, it's very cut and dry. Like, one planet will either be a malefic or it will be a benefic. So it's either bad or it's good.
Okay.
And then there's certain ways how a malefic, so a bad, evil planet, can be a bit less bad and do less bad things in a person's life.
Yeah.
And the same with like a benefic, so a good planet,
right,
can show up in a less good way or a more good way. But like, but it's very cut and dry. Like this, like Saturn is bad. Saturn is always bad. Saturn does bad stuff. Sometimes in some charts, it is placed in a way that causes it to be less bad. In some charts, it's way, way bad, but it's never good. It's always bad. Okay. And I don't like that because I feel like each and every single placement in your chart has the possibility to show up in a bad way or in a good way. It really depends on, you know, on you, how the decisions you make, on the people around you and the decisions they make. Like, we still all have free will.
Yeah.
It's not like our destiny is not written in the charts, in the stars. There's just like, there's possibility for stuff.
Yeah.
And possibilities can turn bad or can turn good. It depends.
Yeah. I mean, so I remember thinking, because I hadn't realized that I had so many similarities to that person's chart, right? Because I'd looked at it before, but I'd never like really looked at it before.
Fair.
But one of the things that I was thinking is some of those similarities were also things that were in my mother's chart. And so I wasn't really thinking about it in an astrology way, but like, but I was thinking like, okay, I've always been, so also this is not like I was born very special in this, I was born autistic, right?
Yeah.
So yes. Like, so like I really, so I was never emotionally attached to my mother because she would do these crazy things. And even in the before times, like this is something that I've heard a lot. Mm-hmm. Is people are like, yeah, you'd get hurt and you'd run past her to anybody else. Like, you know. And I do, like, I think that's autism. But also what I was going to say, the reason that I'm saying this is I don't remember a time that I didn't have her figured out. Mm. Right? Like, why you're doing this and that or whatever. Which, again, I don't think is because I'm special in any sort of way. I think it's autism. And also like, if you grow up in a house where somebody is abusing you, then often if you're autistic, then that person becomes your not like not special interest in the way that other things are special interests, but like you get really good at the pattern recognition of like, I need to know what mood you're in and why, so that I can foresee how that is going to make me safe or unsafe at the any given moment, right?
Yep.
So I remember when we had that person's chart up, I was like, oh, I wonder if, like, I looked over and was just like, oh, well, you're very insecure and you're doing these things to try to, like, you know, like, I just immediately had them figured out. And I was like, I wonder if that is because they're so much like my mother, like, in some ways, they're very much not like her in others, but, but I mean, I don't know, maybe that's also an astrology
thing. It might be related, but
I mean, no, there's no way to know or whatever, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Okay. Does that answer your question or do you have follow-up questions?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting, right? Because like we looked through all of the charts down like a whole ancestral line and we just kept seeing the same, like, it's one of two rising signs, you know, and like some other
the rising too. Signs just to explain the significance of that, right? For those of you who are not super versed in astrology, the rising sign changes sometimes literally within minutes up to like, I think the longest is like 2 hours ish. Right. Yeah. So, so it's really significant when you have an ancestry line back through like, I think 4 or 5 generations.
Yeah.
And all of them having one of two rising signs, because it is very hyper specific like that. These people would have had to be born during a very specific time frame that is, close to 2 hours, right? So
Yeah.
It is interesting. And it's another one of those tidbits where I go like, oh, tell me again, astrology does not work.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating thing about, you know, like the mystery that is like astrology and like
mm-hmm.
how it works and why it works and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool.
Okay. Do you have more questions?
I do. This last one is kind of a two-part one. So, in order for me to know how to ask this question, I first have to ask, like, what an ephemeris is, because I don't ever remember what an ephemeris is.
Okay. So, an ephemeris is basically a book. It's a book that is, that lists the planetary movements, like in just plain numbers. So you don't have a little circle thingy as you do when you open an app and you look at the transits, and you know, you can do that too. You can move the transits back and forth and play around, and it's really fun and insightful. But like, we only have that because we have computers and the internet. Back in the day, what astrologers used to have is an ephemeris that's usually for like a time period of like 100 years.
Okay.
And it lists all the planetary movements. So ingresses into a new sign, the new degree, blah, 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 for each and every one of the major planets, obviously, like not the asteroids because they didn't do asteroids back then, really. But yeah, so you have like basically a little chart thingy, and you have the top row is usually all the planets. And then on the side, it goes day by day. So you want to know where Saturn is on the 23rd of November. Okay. You go into the Saturn column and then down to the 23rd of November. And then there will be a little glyph, like which sign it is in. And then next to that, the degree that is in. And then astrologers would have to do lots of math that I will not explain how to do because I don't know how to do it. On how to calculate like the like for the exact birth time where that planet would have been during that. So because it doesn't give you the times, it just gives you the day. On this day, this planet will be at this many degrees of this sign. And then if you want, okay, but this is usually it's at 12 midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are at 12 noon. So then you would have to do math. Okay, but this person was born at 9:45 a.m. So how many degrees would that planet be? So astrology, before we got computers and apps and software, astrology used to do a lot.
Yeah, sounds and terrible. I'm
so glad that I do not have to learn how to do that. Because my brain immediately has just dancing monkeys when you... try to explain that to me. I can't. So yeah, but that's what an ephemeris is. You can still buy them. They're still out there. You can still get them at actual physical books.
Why would you use one now?
I don't use them, so I can't really answer that. I mean, okay, that is not true, actually.
I've heard you talk about it.
So yeah, I use it for very specific things. So you can also download ephemerae, I think is the plural of that. Mm-hmm. Ephemerises. That was a reference to our favorite TV show, by the way. Mm-hmm. You can download them at astro.com. You can download them for any year.
Yeah.
Literally in the past or the future. They are there. You can look at them. I use them heavily when I did progressions and things like that. Those are quite complicated. I'm not going to get into explaining what those are right now. You can look it up if you want to learn.
Okay.
It's an ancient astrological predictive method, basically. And for that, it makes sense to like use an ephemeris, but also you don't have to. You can also do it with software. And now I do it with software and not the ephemeris.
Okay.
But when I first started learning about them, I used an ephemeris. So I'm sure there's astrologers out there that still use ephemerises.
Ephemeris.
Maybe. Who knows? It's a mystery. I guess maybe because that's how they learned it and they still like using them.
Okay.
I guess there are also people out there who like doing maths.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
not in the room with us.
I think that's fucking weird. But like,
yeah,
they exist and you do you, no shame.
Like, sure.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't.
Okay, the funny thing is, if I'm going to ask this question, and that's not going to have anything to do with it.
Okay, well, I mean, explained something. Okay. Isn't it nice that...
It's in my notes because I was like, maybe this is what you would use this for. I don't know. But I don't okay. know. That's why I'm the one asking the questions and not the one answering the questions, because I do not know. Okay. So my question is kind of based off of my weird thing that I've been doing. So I started doing this last year where I'm like, okay, so this year I'm going to have like, and again, like a year for me is like a really weird, obscure point of time that is actually of like a year and a half, but
fair.
Anyway, where I was like, okay, so I'm going to have a year that I'm just focused on rest. And there was a lot of reasons for that, but like, you know, that was really good. And I'm actually like just now, it's been like a normal person's year. I've been doing it for 365-ish days.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to be done until March because
the winter.
Me.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, like, so I already know what my next one's going to be, and I'm actually going to start it now, and I'm going to like layer it.
Okay.
Right over. But I was just wondering, like, so how would you look at somebody's chart and be like, this is what you're in need of for the next year, instead of being like, you know, oh, this is what you need for this like small season or for this like transit of, you know, which are sometimes many years, depending on like what kind of transit that you're looking at. But
sure. So, okay, there's several things that you can do. The first thing I would do is look at the transits, specifically look at the transits of the slower moving planets. Mm. So basically Saturn and out. So,
okay.
Like I would focus on the chart ruler. Have I explained before what the chart ruler is? Should I explain?
I mean, I know what a chart ruler is, but go for it.
So the chart ruler is, so you have a rising sign. That is the sign that is coming up on the horizon the minute you are born. That is your rising sign. Every sign has a planetary ruler. So for example, my rising sign is Sagittarius. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. That means Jupiter is my chart ruler. And the chart ruler is sort of like the boss of everyone. It's like the one that coordinates a lot of stuff around your chart. A lot of stuff falls back on that planet. A lot of, like, everything gets sort of, like, tainted by that planet's energy. It's, like, the one of the most important planets in your chart, if not the important planets, planet in your chart, is your chart ruler. So, so for me, I would look at what is Jupiter doing during that year, like where is he transiting, what house is he going to be in or houses. Those are, you know, going to be important themes for me during this time period, let's say one birthday from another birthday or one year or whatever. That's going to be an important topic. And then, you know, combining that with what are the other outer planets doing, because the outer planets are slow moving. Usually they will transit through a single house, maybe two if your houses are really small. But like usually it's like one house that they are going to be in within like that sort of time frame, right? If we're talking about like a year-ish.
Sure.
So yeah, so then, okay, so if you look at Saturn, and for you, I'm going to use you as an example again, your mm-hmm. Saturn is currently moving through your sixth house.
It's not my house ruler, though, or that's not my
chart. No, it's not your chart ruler. Your chart ruler is Venus, yes. But like, it's an outer planet, so it's going to be important. So it's moving through your sixth house.
It's very annoying just now.
What?
Saturn is very annoying now.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Because the sixth house is to do with physical health. And
also because it's opposite my natal Saturn. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm about fucking tired of this nonsense that it's doing, to be fair. But okay.
Yeah. I get that. So yeah, and that brings me into the next thing I was gonna bring up. So while looking at those outer planets, that's an important thing to look out for. Where are they in comparison to their natal placements?
Right.
So
okay.
When you have a Saturn return, obviously, everyone by now knows about the Saturn return. That happens somewhere during your late 20s, like anywhere between 27 and 30, 31-ish, mm-hmm. Is when you have your Saturn return. So Saturn will be back in the same spot that it was when you were born.
Yeah,
that is usually a time for people where they get hit by a lot of bullshit, to be quite frank. And like,
yeah,
a lot of things that then trigger growth and getting to know yourself, and it's usually pretty heavy for a lot of people.
Yeah, so but I knew that was going to be irritating. I didn't know about this. This was just a surprise irritation.
Yeah, that's the thing with like popular astrology, that these things get popular. Like Mercury retrograde is really popular. Everyone talks about it. But if you don't actually like learn about astrology, then you only have a very vague idea of what all of this actually means, because not just the returns are important, it's also important when especially the outer planets enter an aspect to their natal placements. So that is a half Saturn return. That is when transiting Saturn is in an opposition with your natal Saturn. That can be just as rough in a very similar way as a Saturn return.
I mean,
also the quarter Saturn return, so that is when your Saturn squares its natal position, can also be a rough time, right? And then it's not just Saturn. The same is the case for the other planets, especially the outer ones. So if Jupiter is in opposition to its natal position, that can also be Jupiter is all about expansion. It makes all things bigger. And if it opposes itself, then there's that energy of like, oh, where do I want to go? Do I want to go? Do I want to expand in this direction or in this direction? Or like, what do I do?
Right.
Right. So those are important things to look out for. And then again, always pulling the houses in, because the houses tell us about which area of life are these things happening in. So you, as an example again, your Saturn is in your sixth house, your natal Saturn is in your 12th house. So it's all to do with that, like physical health affecting mental health affecting physical health affecting work, affecting routines, the way you can, you know, show up for yourself on a regular basis. And then how that gets back into affecting the mental health and the stuff that you're not as aware of, you know? Okay. So it's that area.
Okay. So that makes sense, obviously, for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that would make sense for the next one, though.
Do you want to tell me what your next plan is, or do you want me to look at your chart and guess?
Why don't you do a tiny bit of guessing, and if you don't get it right away, then I'll tell you.
Okay. So. Okay, I can share my screen for that one.
Okay, yeah.
These things. So, okay, let me move this. Oh, you said you're starting it now-ish
mm-hmm.
and layering it. Okay, I'm just going to move it
forward. Like, I thought of it, like, 2 days ago, probably.
Okay. So, let's see. I mean, First of all, I want to say that it makes sense that the resting is still occurring because Saturn is still like right in the middle of your sixth house and won't leave until probably next year. I think I've checked that at some point when it actually leaves.
Yeah, because I'm over it. It's not going to be soon.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, was it like March next year or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense that your resting period is still going.
Mm-hmm.
So Uranus is moving into your ninth house in the middle of next year. So I think that that one is interesting. And also Jupiter is interesting. Jupiter is in your 10th house. So my guess is that your focus will be either on spiritual stuff because of Uranus moving into your 9th. That could be a focus you might want to have, like growing in a spiritual way and doing it in a very like... I mean, because you have done it in a very, or a sort of straightforward way where you've gone to lots of classes, you've had lots of mentorship. So it could be that you're just gonna, you know, wing it and go like, I'm gonna grow in the way that I want to grow.
Well, I stopped all of the classes and stuff as part of the year of rest. Like I paused all of that stuff as part of the year of rest.
Yeah.
So that is... not part of the next thing, but I was like, I'm probably not going to go back to those classes. I will go back to the classes at some point, but not soon.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next, my second guess, and also my last, would be Jupiter is already in your 10th house, is going to spend a lot more time in your 10th house.
Yeah.
And we've put... lots of stuff, but also writing in your 10th house because it's as much of a career as you're probably ever going to have as an autistic disabled person.
Sure.
Writing books is what you're currently doing career-wise.
Sure.
So that would be my guess number two, that you want to focus on the writing.
I mean, I probably will focus on the writing, but that's not my like... you know, main focus of the year.
Then tell me.
So my main focus of the year is super Venus related.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And that is luxury.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. So like mostly in small ways, but like, so I'm doing, so basically the way that I have thought about it, and it will change and morph like the way that I have like brought in different aspects of rest throughout the last year and will continue to do it for the next like several months or whatever has also changed, right? Where I was like, I was doing it this way and now I'm also doing this and this and this. So my first starting thing is like every day I will do something that like feels like luxury, but in a small way, right? So like every day, like I quite like fragrances and I'm kind of a nerd about it, right? So even if I'm like not getting up and like getting dressed, I'll like put a fragrance on in my pajamas, like will be one of my daily things. I'll also probably do like a glamour candle or something, whatever. So like small things like that, that are every day. And then I'll have something that's like slightly larger that I do every week. Right. And then every month I'll do something like larger. So like, 1 month it might be, well, I'll order the 100% linen sheets, right? Or get the bathrobe that I want. Like, just whatever it is. Like, but luxury. So,
okay,
tell me the astrology of that.
Yeah, here's what's funny about that. So, first of all, had I done more checking in, would we have gone more in depth with that? And would you... had you been an actual client that had come to me with that question, right? What should my focus for the next long-ish period of my life be?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, look at her there. But
we would have gotten to that because, first of all, Venus is your chart ruler because you are Libra rising. So Venus is
well-placed in my chart as well.
Yeah, she is. she's very gay in your chart.
Yeah.
I keep repeating that. But also the funny thing is that Venus is in your first house. So she, and she is fairly fast moving. So she moves basically, she always stays close to the sun, right? Because she's like an inner planet. So she never moves far away from the sun. So basically in the course of a year, she will cover your entire chart, right? So with planets like that, it is harder to talk about or to see like the area of life that it's going to affect in a longer period of time, because she will cover your entire chart within that. But her just having entered your first house just means she has started a new cycle. And whenever a planet does that, it usually, like, you can usually tell in your life that something that is to do with that planet is changing in a certain way. You're starting a new cycle in that, within these themes, right? And Venus is exactly that. Venus is sensuality. She is luxury. She is all the senses. So smelling, feeling, tasting, luxurious things specifically, like Venus loves, and especially like Venus in Libra that she is in right now. She wants all the luxury items. She wants fancy shit, right? So it is very funny that now would be the moment where you decide that that is what your next year-ish is going to be about. Because Venus is like, we need that. We need a new cycle. We need the goods. So that is very funny. She's also right now sitting right on top of your moon and Pluto. So the moon especially is like, this is how I take care of myself. This is how I do like emotional healing. This is how I'm gonna, you know, be good to myself by giving myself a little extra of the things that I need.
Well, it's also why I was like, oh, I can start that now, right? Because it also like, it stacks really well on top of rest.
So like, it does. Yeah. Yeah. So that tracks. And I think it's a good thing that you're doing that. It also has a very healing energy, I feel like. So it's, so Venus is also opposite Chiron right now.
Okay.
Chiron is transiting through your seventh house. So it's like focusing on myself instead of focusing on other people, focusing on the relationship I have with myself and my own body instead of focusing on romance and love and these things. That doesn't mean that those things are not going to happen in your life. It just means that that's not your main focus.
I have not been focused on that in fucking ages.
So yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So yeah. And then just to expand on that, like, I mean, you can do all of that and that already tells you a lot, as you've probably seen, but there's also certain techniques, especially like ancient astrological techniques, where you like progressions actually is one, right? Where you look at, like,
where am I in?
Exactly. So what so every year of your life, a certain house of your life gets activated. So I can never have a
progression wheel there.
I don't, but I can look one up real quick. They're pretty easy to find. So they're basically wheels that actually I can do it on my laptop so I can show you. Let's see. Also, by the way, I meant perfections and not progressions, but progressions are perfections. I keep confusing them. So these are perfections. And as you can see, so every single year of your life is related to a certain a sign and a certain house. So you turn 46, 45.
I turned 46 in 46. The end of March.
The end of March.
So I'm currently in 45. So I'm in ninth house.
Yeah. So right now you're in a Taurus 10th house phase, right? So Taurus, again, is also a Venus sign. So it's basically like sort of your sister sign, right? Because you're both ruled by Venus.
And my full Venus is in Taurus anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So yes, she loves all the sensual things. So that makes sense that you would do that now. But also the next year, so after your birthday, you're obviously going to continue that theme because your birthday is already in March. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a Gemini 11th house year. What's your 11th house in?
Leo, I think. I don't know. We'd have to look. I think it's like partially, it's like part and part.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that still tracks, right? It's still the self-care. It's still like 11th house is community and
I know something that's funny about that.
Okay, let's hear
that it. That is so like intellectually I know that I need to start finding like local friends. Like I'm really good at making long distance friends and I already had a bunch of long distance friends and you know, I chronic illness, blah, blah, blah. So, like, logically, I'm like, oh, you know, I need to make in-person friends.
Sure.
But also, I'm tired and I don't want to, you know. So, but
that's fair.
Over the last couple of months, I keep saying to people, like, I just had this conversation with Julianne, like, literally yesterday, where I was like, oh, you know, after the holidays and how after I go to Egypt and come back and probably around March, then I'll start really looking then. I'll start figuring it out then. So and that will be when I'm in the
that's when you're like
community in your, perfection.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's when so your 11th house is in Leo though, which is also very focused on the self and, you know, your own needs and making yourself the center of attention can also be just your own attention. Doesn't always have to be everyone
else's. It's half and half. It's like half in that, but it's also half Virgo.
It's also half Virgo, yeah. But, yeah, by the time, like, you're halfway through, sort of, your 46th year of life, numbers, right. Man, they confuse me. It might be the case that, you know, okay, so I started that year being focused on building community because, you know, I want people to notice me. I want to, you know, have some attention from some people. And then by that sort of halfway point, your reasons just change. And you just want to be more organized in the way you do community because now maybe, you know, you have made friends and then you have to actually figure out how to incorporate those friendships into your life as an autistic disabled person, right? Like, how do I schedule friendships? How do I keep my energy up for that? So, all of that makes sense to me. So that's perfections. And then progressions is another method, an ancient astrological method that is way more complicated than this.
That we're you can also saying the wrong word.
There. Yeah. We were. Yeah. I keep doing that though. I keep saying progressions when I mean perfections and perfections when I mean progressions because but I mean that thing. So progressions, again, is another thing that you can do that is more complicated. That also helps you figure out like when certain things get activated in your chart and stuff. But it's way more advanced and way more complicated. And I don't often do it, so I don't know a shit ton about it because transits also work for that type of stuff really well. So,
Okay. Fair.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Cool. So that's it.
Yeah. You're going to have to get back to me on the phobia stuff.
Yes, okay. I'm going to get back to you on the phobia stuff. I'm going to definitely do some researchy stuff there.
Maybe we can open with on the next astrology episode.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
She's like, I'm not committing to knowing the answer that
by no, then. I'm not. I'm never committing because I never know beforehand how my energy and my motivation are. It might be that I already have an answer tomorrow. Right. It might be that you're going to have to ask me again next year. It's
yeah. Okay. So
I don't know.
This is like a friend complaining about another friend to the friend that they're complaining about the situation.
But oh, so I know what's coming.
Just so everybody on here like understands, like I have, to the surprise of fucking everybody, I think, have become a fan fiction nerd, right? I'm not gonna like drop my fandom or anything here, but like I have a very specific fan fiction thing that I read like over and over. I came out of fucking nowhere or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I have feel very strongly about it, and I feel very strongly about a couple of the books. And Lily here is like a big reader, and she's like, I read all of these books, blah blah blah. And so I was like, okay, great. I really want you to read this fan fiction, a different one, right? I opened it with like, this fan fiction is quite long. Go read it because I want to talk to you about it. And just to lull me into a false sense of fucking security, she made it through that quite quickly. Reasonable amount of time. I think like slightly longer than it takes me to read it, but like not much. Like just a few days longer than it would have taken me, really. And then we had the conversations that I wanted to have about it. That was great. And then I was like, you know what? We are about to go on holiday together. Our last birthday trip, which was in March of last year, right? And I was like, here is my second favorite fan fiction from this fandom. Please read it. I will even read it again. And we'll both be reading it whilst we're on holiday. And then we can like talk about it. How far are you into that now, would you say?
A little over half, I think.
Right. That is obviously the wrong answer. An incorrect answer. We finished it before we left that holiday. We were on holiday for a week. I was like, that is fucking reasonable. We can do this. You were nowhere near... Nowhere near. And like every once in a while, I will ask you and you'll be like, I have not read that since the last time you asked me. But but also every time I ask you, you're like, I'm still actively reading it, but not that actively.
So here's the thing with me and reading. First of all, I do read slow and I am known for that. I'm a slow reader. Like the actual reading, I mean, is just happens slowly because I can't read faster than the little narrator in my head. Like she has to keep up, so I can't read faster than that. So I read slow. It's ADHD, probably. Also, another ADHD thing, I never read less than 8 books at the same time. So I always have a literal pile of books, either physical ones or on my reader that I am currently reading. So it's at least 8. I think right now I'm more at like 15.
So, yeah, you're pissing me off is what you're doing. Because I'm like, I still want to talk about this book. You don't even know the next thing that I want to talk about because you have not gotten there. And you know, I'm like, I'll probably read it again before you're done.
And then I also sometimes get into, which happened like in between there somewhere where I had like a reading lull, where I just was not in the mood to do any reading for like a month. Yeah. And I just didn't read at all.
Right.
And then I got back into reading, but then I was like in the mood for like nonfiction, and I read a lot of nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see you like every single time we talk about it, we're like getting more and more pissed. And, like, bitch.
It annoys the shit out of me.
I'm aware.
It annoys me very much. So anyways, I just wanted like, to
I'm sort of sorry.
You're not sorry.
But also not.
You're not sorry at all. I just wanted to like bring everybody on this journey with us because that's why I thought it was funny that you're not gonna, you know, commit.
Yeah, that's that like
bring an answer to this.
I am neurodivergent. I am also disabled.
I am too.
I am also a mother. I'm like I never know when I'm going to be in the mood for anything and then actually do the thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, it might be that I do a deep dive tomorrow and then tomorrow evening you're going to get a long voice note where I will be like, I have figured it out.
I mean, I fucking hope so. I just think that it's funny because like you really did lull me into a false sense of security when I was like, hey, will you read this long, like 200,000 word book?
Because it's my favorite.
And you were like, sure. And you just.
That, in that particular case, I also read the audio version. So I listened to it. And I listen to audiobooks every night. Every night when I go to sleep.
An audiobook version of.
Probably. I might actually have to look for that. But.
Oh so, my God, please fucking do.
Audio does go quicker because I listen to one audiobook at a time. I do not have several audiobooks. I have several books, and one of the books I'm currently reading will be an audiobook.
Sure.
And that is what I will listen to at night to fall asleep to. So that's what I did with that first one. I just listened to it. And I also have insomnia, so that means I will easily listen to an hour or two of audiobook every night.
Okay, well, maybe after we stop recording, you can have a go a little look-see on if there exists an audio.
Sure.
Because I think there must be.
Probably.
It's a very popular one within the fandom, yeah. So.
Yeah,
I anyways, can do that. I just wanted to complain about you to you for a second. in a way that the general public could also hear.
Yeah, please, everyone. Please, everyone, bitch about me in any comments.
I mean, I also love you, and I have a lot of, no. Like, you know, whatever. So, like, this
stuff
is...
Stuff you do sometimes pisses me off. Like, it's,
I'm sure. I'm much more annoying than you are. So, I'm positive that that is true.
So, yeah. We were going to say goodbye. I think that was what we were in the middle of.
Yeah.
You started ranting about me.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Do all the things. Follow. Like and subscribe and follow everywhere and leave comments. Talk to us. Give us.
I mean, leave comments on YouTube. We won't get notifications.
Oh, yeah, because YouTube is stupid, but.
We're going to figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, hopefully we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.